much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Repeat after me. Abracadabra, 1, 2, 3.
Abracadabra, 1, 2, 3.
Now it's time to see what we see.
Now it's time to see what we see.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah!
I don't know how many of you have heard, but there's a flesh-eating virus going around. Yeah, it's called music. And there's only one way to get a vaccine, and that is to play it.
It's tricky to rock a rhyme. To rock a rhyme that's right on time, it's tricky. How is it?
It's tricky, tricky, tricky. Here we go!
The fact that you exist and are made in the image of God, a sentient being in the space-time continuum, makes you a super creature in the entire vortex of this dimension. So there's that.
I've got your personal cheesecake right here, Ginger. Come get your f***ing cheesecake.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is a time bomb.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Don't behave like a dickhead.
Roll on.
Elon Musk is the next guy to do it, probably, right?
Just like the other one.
I'm sorry, the question again, Dave?
This one seems to be about quit.
No.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's show.
It's our time to shine.
Let's show.
I believe in you 100%.
Roll another one.
The President of the United States and the Commander of Chiefs.
Just like the other one.
Oh, come on now.
This one seems to be about spend.
There's no catch.
And I don't have another cent.
I really believe that if Jesus was physically on Earth today, he wouldn't be riding a donkey.
Pass it
around.
That is gonna hurt.
And the bogart that joined, my friend.
Peter's gonna hate.
Well, just pass it on down.
And now.
You know what uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things. Like, lots of things are done with uranium, including some bad things.
Our feature presentation.
Best words.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 8th of June.
You guys remember the hockey times?
Oh, they were so good.
They were so good, right?
Yes, they were.
Tell me about your evenings last night. How excited were you?
Is it October yet?
Is it October yet?
I will really want Washington to win because of Alexander Ovechkin. And
he's a player who's been playing forever.
He's played for 13 years, and I think for 7 of those years, he was the point leader. So right. He was the best player in the NHL for 7 of the 13 seasons and way up there for the other ones.
More than 1,100 games, and he finally got to hold the Stanley Cup above his head.
And there was something about him. Maybe the ownership is different in this particular situation, but there was something about him playing for Washington, not leaving Washington to go get a cup, but figuring out a way to stay there and get a cup.
Right.
Now, it's possible, you know, when you talk about Kevin Durant or people like that, it's possible that they're ownership was never going to get them a cup, so then in that case they do move, but it was kind of cool to see. And when he won, man, it was exciting.
Allie, you enjoy yourself?
I did very much. First of all, just Doc Emmerich. I could listen
announcer.
To him do anything all day long. I love him so very much.
He's one of the best broadcasters in sports history.
Although I'm not a great fan of the word sachet, which he
seems loves to say sachetting up the ice. It's amazing. Last night he likened something to pudding. I mean, he is a gentle, gentle spirit. It was wonderful. Ovechkin, he's phenomenal. I don't know if you saw the interview. I retweeted it on my Twitter as well. Of TJ Oshie talking about his dad.
I didn't.
This won't surprise you that I pulled that for this morning.
Oh, please play.
You want to set it up and I'll play it?
Well, his dad has been having a lot of problems with dementia and Alzheimer's. And his concern.
Diagnosed with Alzheimer's at 50, by the way, his father.
Yeah. So he was concerned that he may not even really remember something like this. But then they caught him on the ice and chatted with him after the game. Here's TJ.
My dad, he doesn't remember a lot of stuff these days.
He's trying very hard not to cry.
He remembers enough. But I tell you what, he's here tonight. I don't know where he's at. But this one will stick with him forever. You can guarantee that.
And then his dad did come down on the ice and get a chance to stand there and hold the cup with his son. Oh. And his dad was his coach when he was playing hockey as a kid and, you know, as a teen. So a very special moment for those two.
That is awesome.
I suspect that TJ is right and his father will remember that.
I hope so.
Hope so, too.
Yeah. That was beautiful. So congratulations to the Washington Capitals. And by the way, as everyone has said, Las Vegas certainly has nothing to feel bad about.
No, what a story.
Crazy historic.
What a story. What a season,
yeah,
right?
Ridiculous.
Hey, I know we got a lot of show today. Do we have time for a real quick how does the story end?
Sure.
Hit it, Steve.
How does the story end, my friend? How does the story end?
I don't know what the odds would be of this happening, but a man named Matthew Bailey was pulled over on a New Jersey road last week in the Kingwood Township.
How does the story
end? Not yet. Is it a BS ticket, by the way, if you get pulled over for tinted windows?
Yes.
How do we feel about tinted windows?
Yes. I feel like it is.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
I feel like it is inconsistently enforced. Mm-hmm. I think there are lots of people all over the country, all over the world that have tinted windows. Most of them don't ever get tickets, but every once in a while somebody does. And I always wonder if they're just looking for a reason to pull you over.
I mean, it's also – it's a fix-it ticket, right? So you can take it off the window and then you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, it's not like points go on your record or anything, but it does seem lame.
Exactly. All right. So Matthew Bailey is the driver. He gets pulled over by a New Jersey state trooper named Michael Patterson. Hang on. Stand by. The two men began talking, and Mr. Bailey, the driver, mentioned that he was a retired police officer from Piscataway, which is probably not how you pronounce that. Piscataway?
Boom. He's out. Right?
Well, I'm sure he brought it up because he was looking for a little, little blue courtesy about, try to get out of a ticket or something. I don't know why the two are chatting. I don't know why it turns into a social visit and it's not just a, hey, I'm going to go back to my car and write you this fix-it ticket for your windows. But they chat long enough to realize that they've met before. One time 27 years ago. They met one time 27 years ago and both of them remembered it. Knew about it.
Wow.
Were amazed to be reunited 27 years later on the side of the road while one was giving the other a ticket. What is the event that they remembered? What is the commonality of these two men that met randomly on the street last week?
How does the story end?
27 years ago.
We don't have either of their ages?
I don't know. What are you thinking?
I have a guess. Oh, go ahead.
I was thinking that the cop pulled over that guy's mom for speeding, but she was going to the hospital to deliver him out of her hoo-ha. He met him that day because he delivered him, right?
Kevin, your guess.
Okay.
You wanted a guess.
No, that's not what it is. Okay, it could have been, but it's not.
Okay. All right.
Chip, you got a guess?
Oh God, that was my guess. But I'll say maybe like were they the academy graduation together?
Oh, good. That's a good idea.
Okay. Well, Allie, congratulations first of all.
Shut up.
Come on now.
The state trooper was delivered by the driver.
You
27
stop
years
it.
Ago.
You're
not even lying.
Did you see that?
No, but I had it backwards then.
No, but you got any part of it.
Yes.
Well,
it was ridiculous.
And I was totally kidding.
October 5th, 1991, the state trooper's mother, Karen, went into labor while shopping at a grocery store. They called the police, and Mr. Bailey was the officer that responded and delivered the boys.
And was also the father.
No, what? And that's why she called him.
Right?
Not the case.
Smart.
Right?
Smart.
And in case you're wondering, no ticket was issued on this traffic stop. And instead, Patterson brought Bailey home for another reunion with the rest of the family.
Yeah, here we go.
Not like that.
Now, here we go.
Finally, this is needed.
Like I said, what are the odds?
That's crazy.
These people didn't know each other, had never spoken since that day.
How much conversation did they have to have with each
other? That's what I'm saying.
For that to come up.
Yes. Well, Bailey said, hey, I used to be a cop. And the cop said, well, I'm from that same town. And then one of them started mentioning the street he grew up on. And then the guy said, I remember it well. I delivered a baby down the street from there. And he just went on and on. But imagine, how crazy is that, right?
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
So that's how the story ends.
How does the story end?
Wrong one. Hold, please.
That's how the story ends.
Can't believe Allie was almost... completely right.
Yes.
And wild totally guess. Kidding. Because really, how would that ever
what
happen?
Are the chances, right? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Our job is weird, but it's also boring.
We have Keep It 100 because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We have Roy Wood Jr., comedian, stopping by the studio. He is from The Daily Show. He's awesome. Very excited about that. We got a brand new scientific survey we need your help with. You were honest, and it sort of hurt you. It really sort of hurt a bit.
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to talk about that today. We've got a Jersey Shore recap with Omar, a brand new internet roundup, and more this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
It's Friday, you guys.
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Day.
Everybody. Hey, Allie, what's happening?
Well, on this Friday, I'd like to give you something. Because Disney Pixar's Incredibles 2 is hitting theaters June 15th. But how would you like to join three of your friends with a four-pack of passes to the K-Rock Advance screening of Disney Pixar's Incredibles 2 at AMC Century City, June the 11th? I mean, you're going to see it early with your friends.
Pretty cool.
And then you can be like, hey, here's what happened. Spoiler! And then your other friends are like, you're the worst. And you're like, you should have been a better friend. Then you could have come with me. It's a whole scenario that's going to go
sure
down.
Is.
If you want to be that guy or that girl, give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. And we are going to give you a pair of four-pack, what? A four-pack of passes to the K-Rock Advance screening on June 11th at AMC Century City Disney.
So there's that.
Pixar's Incredibles 2. Like I said, one winner gets a four-pack, not a pair of four-packs. There are not going to be eight tickets. Listen, there's math involved. It's a lot, but be caller 15 okay. right
are
now.
We on the air?
Nope, not yet.
Okay.
All right.
Six, that's when we go on, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Double checking.
Really, really awful news out of France that just broke about an hour ago on CNN. Anthony Bourdain, who we all know, gifted storyteller, amazing host of Parts Unknown, has taken his own life at the age of 61. He was in France working on an upcoming episode of his award-winning CNN series, Parts Unknown, and his close friend, who's a chef in France, found him unresponsive in his hotel room.
Hmm.
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful, awful, awful.
So Kate Spade a few days ago, 55, Anthony mm-hmm. Bourdain, 61.
61.
Two wonderful people, by all accounts,
mm-hmm.
whose lives are cut short by suicide. It's awful.
Yeah. They were going kind of through the whole timeline of his on CNN from when it started, when he wrote an article for The New Yorker called Kitchen Confidential that then got turned into a book. That's when I first found out about him because I was like, oh, he is talking about awful things happening in kitchens and I never want to eat out again. But he kind of had this this quality about him, like a Renaissance man kind of quality. He did a show on Food Network that I don't think a lot of people watched, but then he went over to CNN and did Parts Unknown, and he'd travel all over the globe and taste some of the craziest, most beautiful to really why are you putting that in your mouth kind of things. But he would get to know people and just find out about cultures. And
well, that was the draw of his show, is it wasn't just a food show. It was a travel show, and it was a show about people all over the world. And he's an amazing thing, and I didn't watch it often, but when I did, he was comfortable in every situation.
Everywhere he went, it seemed that he just charmed the pants off of everybody, for sure. So
that's a real loss.
Yeah, it's a awful thing to wake up to, and you could tell it was really hard for his colleagues at CNN that had gotten to know him to be the ones to be bringing this news to all of us. But season 11 of Parts Unknown premiered on CNN last month, and I had looked at his Twitter feed, and he had just shot an episode, I think, a couple days before. I should really look that up. I think in Hong Kong with his girlfriend, Asia Argento. She was directing it. So he had this amazing situation. He said it was just a dream to be able to work with her in that capacity. So it's just all very sad. So again,
rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Thank you, Rodney.
If you are having any sort of issue, there are people to talk to 24/7. If you want to give a call to the suicide hotline. And of course, now my computer isn't working to give you that number. Anybody have it at their disposal? Good freaking Lord.
Hold, please.
Anybody. 1-800 number. No one? Cool.
I should know it, but I don't.
Okay, here we go.
It's 1-800-273-8255.
There it is.
All right. Good time for the computer to lock up. All right. On to some better news. Donald Glover.
Right.
Atlanta.
Yes.
Here's a shock. Renewed for a third season.
Love it.
I don't know. Maybe it was the two Emmys, two Golden Globes, and the best season ever, this past one, season two. Yeah. I think they're announcing Emmys very soon, and I will be shocked. Shocked, I say.
Agreed.
If that is not also up for more Emmys, just for a show, for writing, but also Brian Tyree Henry. Paperboy. Acting his butt off this last season. Really good stuff.
I probably watched the one with the alligator man. I probably watched that five times.
The first one. Unbelievable. So good. And I think I'll be shocked, too, if he doesn't get a guest starring Emmy.
Agreed.
That was Eddie Griffin?
No. Cat Williams.
Cat Williams, right. Yeah.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah, so good.
You're not watching Atlanta. Go back and watch this past season. Unbelievable. And I don't know if you guys ever watched Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
I love it. I love that show.
I love it, too. I was an OG-er back in the day when it was just on Crackle.
Okay.
Now it's on Netflix. I'm a Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee hipster,
uh-huh.
is what I'm saying. But it is going to be back for another season beginning Friday, July 6th. This season's guests include the late Jerry Lewis. What? That's going to be incredible. Yeah, just picking him up in a car, going to get coffee, chit-chatting about life. Also, Kate McKinnon, Ellen DeGeneres, Tracy Morgan, Alec Baldwin, again, apparently he has more to say, Zach Galifianakis, John Mulaney, and Dave Chappelle.
All right.
Pretty good season you got there, Jerry Seinfeld. Nothing will be better than Mel Brooks. Just sitting there watching Jeopardy, eating soup. Again, my dream. It's all
sounds
I want.
Like Mad Libs. But
all I want in life is to hang out with him and eat soup. My birthday's next Tuesday. If anyone knows Mel Brooks, can reach out. Jeopardy soup. Birthdays for ya. Rapper Kanye West, TV show host Maria Menounos, and actress Juliana Margulies. And that's what's happening.
Did you see that Foo Fighters concert the other day where Dave Grohl kind of pranked the band and the audience by playing the opening drums of Smells Like Teen Spirit?
I did not. You know, he's full of pranks, isn't he?
He's never played a Nirvana song, and he says he can't even still listen to Nirvana. He says he can't avoid it because it's out there in the world, and he'll come across it on the radio or in a store or something like that, but he can't still, to this date, all these years later, still cannot listen to that band.
He should. They're pretty good.
They are pretty good.
I don't think he had the same experience that the rest of the band
That's
did.
A good point. Oh, yeah. Hey, that's the voice of our producer, Dave, the King of Mexico. He's here for a brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup.
Listeners around the world, it is time for the Internet Roundup, so tell all the boys and girls, we've got funny and sexy, even music too, we've got all the greatest videos, and they're mostly on YouTube.
anyone tried to click their mouse in the air like you don't care? Is that
not recently?
I don't know how effective it would be.
Do anything?
We try to take the best and funniest and most interesting viral videos of the week and put them in one handy location at KROQ.com or KevinDeMean.com, including, by the way, the new movie trailers. And this was a big week for movie trailers because Bumblebee is out. I know, Dave, you're excited about that. Latest Transformers. Also, Lego Movie 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet. You can see all those. Cardi B is the most annoying person in the world. We've got that video up. How about that catch at Petco Park the other day? That young woman in the outfield who caught a home run ball.
I mean, her beer.
It was a foul ball.
Oh, was it a foul? Yeah. It was a home run.
Did she catch it or did it catch her? I mean, I felt like she was just standing there, and the next thing, there was a baseball in her beer.
I think there was a bump. Like, it hit something, then came up into... It wasn't just directly into her beer.
Yeah, okay.
It was still awesome.
Yeah. It was awesome. And then she's, you know, the crowd's going crazy because of that, and then she drank it. And she just chugged
the baseball
in it.
Wow.
So she'll get dysentery or something from that, I imagine, right?
It also helps that she's super hot, too.
Yeah, I wondered how long they were going to leave the camera on her.
Yeah.
She's almost as hot as the woman who put her boobs up on the glass after the caps for the Stanley Cup last night.
Wait, what?
Mr. Wacky, you guys, I know that we've been talking about it a lot this week, but the video is in the Internet Roundup. And
so
it's
good.
It's probably the best news video of the year, I would imagine.
Agreed.
In a long time, maybe
a
decade.
Years, yeah.
This is a reporter named Dave Scott who's covering something called the Inflatables Festival, a big family event on Good Morning San Diego. Here's just a taste of it, but please promise me you'll go to the Internet Roundup and watch the whole thing.
You know, usually when you're talking about the world of inflation, you guys, you probably notice, is that a good thing or not a good thing, inflation?
No one's paying attention.
I'm sorry, the question again, Dave?
Is inflation in our world a good thing or not a good thing?
It depends upon what the topic is. What are we talking about? Generally, inflation, if you have an inflatable boat, that's a good thing.
Yeah, if you heard the word, right? But generally, when you hear the word inflation,
killed me.
Not economically.
Something good come to mind?
For me, yeah.
Yeah.
Say no, you asshole. What's going on?
He was not going to give up on that transition between inflation and inflatables, was he? There was a big novelty record back in the 1960s called The Name Game. And it's still very popular at kids' parties and whatnot. It was on American Horror Story a couple of years ago. If you know the song, if you don't know the song, it goes like this.
The Name Game. Shirley, Bo Burley, Bo Nana, Banna, Bo Burley, Be Fine, Bo Merley, Shirley.
So it's a way to kind of take somebody's name and incorporate it into the lyrics of the song in a clever way.
Right.
Well, somebody decided that he was going to do it with an impossible sounding word with his Google Assistant. And it's really unbelievable how good the AI is on Google Assistant. Check it out.
Hey, Google, play the Name Game with anti-disestablishmentarianism, pneumono ultra microscopic silico volcano coniosis.
Coming right up. Anti-disestablishmentarianism, pneumono-ultra-microscopic silico-volcano-coniosis. Anti-disestablishmentarianism, pneumono-ultra-microscopic silico-volcano-coniosis. Bob, anti-disestablishmentarianism, pneumono-ultra-microscopic silico-volcano-coniosis. Banana fan of fof, anti-disestablishmentarianism, pneumono-ultra-microscopic silico-volcano-coniosis. Fee fi mo, anti-disestablishmentarianism, pneumono-ultra-microscopic silico-volcano-coniosis.
Nailed it.
I mean, come on!
Right?
I don't think that's a name.
One of the strangest videos we'll ever see is this guy who's singing Africa with a rubber chicken. I don't understand it.
And why does he have a real chicken there
and
as
why
well?
Why is there a real chicken? And is he trying to create a duet? Is he trying to freak out the real chicken? Again, it's almost impossible to explain, but if you ever wanted to hear a rubber chicken singing Africa, it sounds like this.
I don't know, but I looked on the side and he has a bunch of songs, a bunch of videos with that stupid little chicken.
All I know is he plays the chicken better than I play the kazoo.
That's very true. And finally, every month, I don't know how they find this stuff, but every month there is a best news bloopers of the month video out. And this is
the one for
May, and it is great. And they're usually about 10 minutes long. And my favorite part of this month's video is local. It's Channel 7 covering a car chase last week or a couple weeks ago. And they lost track of the car that they were following. And I guess, like in the Italian Job, remember, all those cars go under the overpass, and then you don't know where which one is which when they come out on the other side. And that's what happened, is they lost, and they followed this, and they were so confused as to how this guy who they thought was in a police chase just casually pulls into a convenience store and gets out and starts walking in. And you could hear them realize they're following the wrong car in this clip.
Is he running out of gas? He's stopping at, like, that mini-mart kind of thing at that gas station.
Ooh, he's getting out of the car,
interesting,
Alan.
Okay.
Well, at least we saw the car door open. Looks like he's wearing a different shirt. I feel like he was wearing a blue shirt before.
He's apparently inside that mini-mart. I hope to good goodness that... hope to God that he's not armed and...
Yeah, I don't know if the passenger got out of the vehicle.
Mm. Now, Bruce, what would they do here if he's pulled? He's pulled into this... Oh, dear, we might have the wrong car. That's just one of the deals of this sort of pursuit. It's a black sedan. There's a million of them out there. And I think, is this our guy again? I think this is our man. We apologize for that.
That's why he was wearing a different shirt.
Yeah.
I love it. See, because he's a different guy just stopping to get a big gulp. That's all that was happening there. Great batch of videos. Check them out right now at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now, baby, go watch the Internet Roundup. Yeah!
Did they not want to be in the arena last night? Why were they on the strip?
Panic at the Disco played before Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final, and I believe they were just trying to do it in a unique location, as they were right in front of Bellagio where the fountains are, but they were in, like, on a little plank in the water.
Okay.
So I think it was just an attempt to try and make it interesting.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, visually, it was interesting.
It was interesting visually.
Visually.
Unfortunately, Brendan... I don't think he could hear well.
I am hoping that's it.
Because we've seen Panic at the Disco so many times, and he's so spot on with his vocals.
Right.
So it was really weird. Like, it was they didn't sound check well enough, or something went a little bit wrong.
And since they were out literally in the middle of water, if something was going wrong a minute before, boat, like, hey, let me fix your ears. Bad situation.
It's tough enough to get good sound on live TV.
Agreed.
Right. And then you throw in the elements of being outdoors and being with all that water around you.
Mm-hmm. The fountains behind him, I thought they've got to be getting misted from that the whole time.
Yeah.
And not quiet.
It was a weird choice.
Very weird.
It was a weird choice. I mean, I blame them, I guess, for the Golden Knights losing.
Well, I'd blame Imagine Dragons because they...
I would blame the Washington Capitals for that.
That's a Golden Knights.
Blame Imagine Dragons, though. They didn't win a game after they performed.
So let's give them credit, you mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
just saying.
We did a story a couple of months ago about a lady in New Hampshire. It was a fascinating story. She had bought a lottery ticket and won $560 million. Signed the back of the ticket, and then went to collect her money. And they said, great, what time do you want to do the press conference? And she said, oh, no, I don't want to do a press conference. I want to remain anonymous. And they're like, ooh, sorry, rules are you win a lottery, you have to give a press conference because we need the transparency. We need people to know that somebody's actually winning. And obviously, it also helps promote our lottery, so you got to do it. So she sued. She did not pick up her money. Months went by. She did not pick up her $560 million. And she sued and ended up winning, by the way. I don't know if
really?
You remember that part.
Yeah.
She was able to transfer the ticket into a trust, and her attorneys picked up the money, and she remained anonymous as just Jane Doe. Well, that was then. This is now. And I think we're all worse for seeing what went down in Jamaica. This is a horrifying photo. What's happening here?
I love it so much.
This woman that won, I think, about $1 million.
Oh, $180 million.
It was $180 million in her currency.
Yes.
Jamaican money, which I believe is about $1 million.
Why you got to make it about America?
I just think it was.
Well, I think we're trying to give people the an understanding of how much they won in a currency they know.
Right. Her name is Anne Gray, is the only thing that we know, and she showed up in a mask, an emoji mask of the winky face, and she looks creepy.
It's weird.
She's going to knife someone.
But she just doesn't want anyone to know who she is because...
But people who... I mean,
she's
from
Jamaica.
Right. They know her last name.
Right.
And people who... I mean, people are going to know she's won $1 million, aren't they?
I would
in her life,
so. Yes. And I would assume anyone that knew in her life would tell everyone else they know. So right. I don't think it's really possible for her to stay out of the limelight.
And maybe even more so now that this is news everywhere. It had to be huge news there.
Yeah.
It made it so much worse for her. She's like, this was a mistake.
Is the winky face the worst one she could have picked?
It's so creepy.
It's terrifying.
It really is so creepy.
But don't you think that a million times, no pun intended, a million times more people in Jamaica are going to know about her and winning this lottery because of her stunt at the picking up the check than if she had just gone up there with a regular face and people just wouldn't even have known her?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't – yeah, around the world, I assume so, yeah. But I don't know who she's trying to hide from, her family.
Well, I think she's afraid of being robbed.
Yeah.
Oh, being robbed. That makes
sense. That's what happens to lottery winners. I won't say all the time, but it happens frequently enough. That was why the lady in New Hampshire wanted to remain anonymous.
What, did they pay her in ones? Don't they just make a bank transfer or something?
Yes, yeah, but they know where she lives. They could rob her house. Oh, There's a lot of stuff that could
Once you get into the news and they go, oh, she's going to quit her job at the bakery or something, well, then they know. You know, they know your neighborhood. They know everything. But that's what her fear was. And the weird thing, I don't know if you saw this in the article with this, is that she's not the first winner to do this in Jamaica. This has become like a thing there. Since the Super Lotto started, winners have been wearing disguises to protect themselves, says a representative of the company. So she's not even the first one to do it. She's just the first one to, you know, come out with such a creepy mask, I guess.
That's a creepy looking thing.
Yeah.
It is.
So, Bean, you win the lottery. We've always heard that you're just going to ghost us.
Mm-hmm. That is correct, yes.
We're never going to hear from you again. Not even, hey, I won the lottery, good luck.
Right. I'm not going to come on and share the news with you guys. I just won't be there one morning at 5:30. And you'll never, now listen to me.
Right.
Uh-huh. Never hear from me again.
Oh, so since that woman won the lawsuit, you won't do the press conference either?
Yeah, that would be my choice, yeah. Depending on what state I win the lottery. And if I can do that, I sure will, yeah. You guys are just going to have to assume. I mean, you'll read that it was, you know, the ticket was bought at a Circle K in New Orleans. And you go, well, I guess that must have been Bean because we never heard from him again.
Right. Well, when you did take time off for your self-preservation a couple months ago, a lot of people commented on that. Mm-hmm. Dude, just tell us he won the lottery. Just tell us.
That would have been so much more fun than what it was. Now, how about you, Kevin? You win the big, big bucks, then what?
I've never really considered it. Mm-hmm.
Really? Even though you buy tickets when it's a $500 million jackpot?
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
I don't
actually put your money down to buy the ticket yet don't imagine what it would be like to win.
Well, you know that your chances against winning are so astronomical.
But you wouldn't buy a ticket unless you thought you had a chance.
Sure, I had a chance, and if I win, then I'd figure out what I'd do. I don't feel like I need to spend a lot of time working on something with that small of odds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have a getaway plan like you do, Bean.
Why do you hate dreams?
I don't mind dreams. I'm realistic.
Okay.
Look, I got a mask and a beard and a passport and
$1,000 in cash.
I'm ready to go.
Bronco.
Right, exactly. And Kevin, you have always said consistently since I've known you that you keep your job too, right?
For the time being.
Come on.
But I have the worst attitude ever because what are they going to do, fire me?
You show up at like 8:30 in a bathing suit.
Drunk.
Why in a bathing suit?
because he can. Because he can do whatever he wants. He can come
can
in
do
a,
that now.
Come in a robe.
In a bikini.
That's
what I would choose. That's a bad example.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Florence and the Machine, you guys. Hollywood Bowl coming up in September. We got your tickets at 9 a.m. and you qualify to see them and all the rest at the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas. Details at KROQ.com. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening?
Sad news if you're just waking up and finding out. Anthony Bourdain, who we all know from a ton of his different shows, from No Reservations to most recently, Parts Unknown, that was on CNN. Prolific writer, amazing host. He is dead at the age of 61. He took his own life in France. He was working on an upcoming episode of his TV show, Parts Unknown, and his close friend, Eric, who is a French chef. I believe is it Eric Ripert? Eric Rippert, not quite sure of how to pronounce it, but he found him unresponsive in his hotel room this morning. very, very sad situation. So, of course, everybody is tweeting out and mentioning the suicide hotline number, which is 1-800-273-8255. And, of course, bringing up a bigger conversation about depression and mental illness and how you never truly know what someone's going through. So many people are saying this seemed like his happiest. He was in a great relationship with Asia Argento. He was so fulfilled in his life doing this show, said it was one of the best times this past week that he was working on an episode with her. So you never really know ever what someone is going through. So that's where just the reaching out to people, even on people's best days, still let them know that you're there, because depression is a liar. Depression lies to you and makes you feel like you're okay right now, but it can creep in any second. So very, very sad situation right now. Craig Berlanti, you know him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Arrow, The Flash.
I'd like to borrow some money from him.
Sure. Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, latest Black Lightning. He's also sold a couple dramas to CBS for next season. He just signed it's a pretty good deal.
Okay.
He's going to be on that Burbank lot with Warner Brothers Television Group through 2024. And the deal is valued well above $300 million.
Wow.
It could rise to as much as $400 million, giving him these guarantees and realizing future shows. So he's doing all right.
He's doing okay.
But here's the thing that I had read. This is just for TV. So if he wanted to do deals for movies,
wow,
and
he can make some real money.
That's a whole different situation. Greg Berlanti, you're having a Friday, right? That's unreal.
That is unreal.
He has like a dozen shows on the air.
And that's not easy.
No. It seems like everything he does is a hit. And then
he does Blind Spot, right? He does Legends of Tomorrow. He does Arrow, The Flash, Riverdale. I mean, those are just off the top. Supergirl. I mean, it's insane how successful he is.
It really is. He's doing all right. Not sure if you saw the picture of rapper Post Malone yesterday.
Didn't.
Couple new tattoos on his face. Underneath his right eye, it says always.
Okay.
Underneath his left eye, what would you think would go with the always?
And forever?
Always and forever. No.
Okay.
No.
Never.
Penis. Always and always penis. No, that
penis. Is,
nope. Okay. What was yours mean?
Never.
No.
Always. Like no. You know, opposite sides.
Right.
So always is where it's under his right eye.
Uh huh.
And under his left eye, it says.
Says the word
hi.
Always pie.
Hi.
Oh.
Not pie. Hi.
He loves pie.
Always high.
Always high.
No.
No.
Okay.
It says tired.
Oh.
Always tired. And I mean, you can tell that by looking at my face, just under the eye without the actual words.
Right, but you don't need to put the words there.
No need to do it. No need to do it. What? Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Not his first face tattoo, if you've ever seen Post Malone. He also has the words stay away above his right eyebrow, a sword, a smiley face, a barbed wire, and a Playboy bunny. Again, all on his face.
Yeah, he's got a lot of work in there.
Always tired, though.
I think he's adopting the Travis Barker plan, which is tattoo myself to the point where I can do nothing else but be in music. I can never get a regular, legitimate.
I think Post Malone passed that quite some time ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's not going to be a banker.
No, he's not.
I am not going in to ask for a loan from Post Malone.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Always tired. I respect it.
Amen. I hear you, Post Malone.
But you need to put a tattoo on your face.
I am picking up what you're putting down.
Okay.
Right? I wonder if all the time people are like, you tired? And he got sick of answering. So he's just like, just do it up. Do it up on my face.
Just read my cheeks.
Right? What if I just said, do it up on my face, and I saw Chip turn around to log that.
Make
so
a little note.
Whatever. Like, if you're, you know, chubby, you could be like, not pregnant. and then people wouldn't ask. You'd just be like, just chubby, right?
I mean, that's an option.
Listen, I'm just trying to help people out if they are wondering what to
tattoo on their face. I don't think people are
feeling I want
to
help people.
They need a tattoo on their
face.
Listen,
give a call right now. 1-800-5-
I don't think so.
No? All right. Some birthdays for you. Maria Menounos, Juliana Margulies, and rapper Kanye West. And that's what's happening.
Boop-dee-dee-scoop.
Nope.
Scoop-dee-dee-whoop.
No.
I thought you were going to ask for that.
Why would I?
I just wanted to mention Jim Rome, our friend, is up for the Radio Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. It will take you just a second to vote, if you would. Just text the number 800 to 96000, 96000. Just text the number 800. That's it. You vote.
No one deserves it more than Jim Rome does.
Agreed.
That's for sure. Hey, it's a Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ladies and gentlemen, DJ Omar Khan.
Hey. How are you guys?
Great.
Last night was Thursday.
Right.
That's right.
And let me ask you guys, you guys are into TV and you guys know a lot about the Emmys. How many Emmys has the Jersey Shore one, do you think?
Oh, man, I'm guessing. You mean total?
Yeah, total.
I'm going to say none.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, this year... My friends.
Oh, is this the year?
They're going to win all.
Okay?
Because last night there was drama, there was sad cry, there was laughter.
The arts.
I couldn't watch past 15 minutes last night because it was so good. What? I just had to be, you know what? At this point, guys, I am out because I didn't want to, like, destroy what I have just seen.
It was too rich. Couldn't take another bite.
When you see a movie that changes your life,
Last night. Are we still talking about Jersey Shore?
Changed. Yes.
Omar.
It's amazing. So Atlanta, sorry Atlanta.
Come on.
You are not going to win any Emmys because Jersey Shore is just going to win all.
You're
okay?
Insane.
You better be able to back this up.
Last episode, we left off with Angelina getting the boot. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to let her party one last night, and then she's going to leave. So what do they decide to do? They go to the club, and this happens.
Nicole was getting drunk. I was getting drunk. Dina was getting drunk. We were all getting drunk.
All right.
So that's what they do.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's how it works.
And on the cab ride home, this happens.
Who farted?
I swear I didn't fart.
I didn't either.
Did you fart?
It was me.
Oh my god!
Did you leave me? You farted?
I had to take a
I'm so sorry, guys.
No. You shot it.
I'm so sorry.
No, I really don't think you I think you're being dramatic.
Can I check my underwear?
All right, I my pants.
Oh,
no.
There's really a in there?
Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
Omar.
No, all right. Sir.
Why are you bringing this to us?
Okay.
Listen, guys.
So you're saying that was the perfect thing that you didn't want to ruin?
Listen, have you seen Citizen Kane? You know how a lot of people compare Citizen Kane or they say it's the best movie? This is the best TV show. So, yeah. So.
Okay.
So, let's continue with what else happens in the cab.
Angelina is a literal show right now.
I'm sorry, Angelina, but it stinks back there. I can't.
It smells like a poop back there.
Omar is so happy.
The joy on his face is insane
I've
right now.
I've never seen you more happy.
I'm not kidding. These girls are just like, they're just off their rocker. They're so wasted. I feel so bad for the cab driver. And JWoww and the cab driver are almost going to throw up. So the cab driver has to pull over.
Oh, no.
Because they have to air out the car.
Oh, no.
And Angelina gets out of the car.
Oh, no.
And this happens.
Oh, no.
Let me change my panties, please.
Nope.
Angelina herself, she is freaking nuts. I'm a meatball. But this is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I'm going to put him in a bag so I can bring them home with me.
Oh.
What?
What?
Call it a loss, Angelina.
Right now, just toss those.
Oh my God.
Look, this is Bean speaking, and I know I'm not a drinker, so I can't understand this. But I would never be so drunk that this would seem funny to me. Would
I? Yeah, totally. It was. There's a point.
This is the type of thing that's funny to you when you're drunk?
When you're drunk enough. Everything is that funny.
And let's be honest. Sharding's funny when you're not drunk.
Yeah, totally.
Let's
Absolutely.
Be honest with ourselves.
So at this point in the episode...
Is this how they kick her off the show?
No.
We can't take you. You're gone.
Angelina is kind of like saying, oh, no, that was just a kind of a joke or whatever.
Sure.
But everybody's kind of speculating like, you know what? Really? So Snooki asks Angelina this.
Angelina, did you poop your pants?
No.
It was like, period.
All right.
Period.
I'm going to throw up. It was period.
It's gross. Angelina's like, no, it's fine. It's just a period. What's a period? Like, I don't understand what this means.
What is happening?
I'm out.
Why are you doing this to us?
I was having fun.
We were all having
thinking
fun.
It was sharp. No. Right. No.
Listen, we were all enjoying ourselves for a second.
I don't know good what that God. Is, but
come
she was,
on,
she was claiming
good
it, there was something going
good
on down
boarded.
There at the time of the month.
Fabulous. Outstanding. Right. Wonderful.
Yes.
Terrific.
Excellent.
Okay. Good morning.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
Good morning.
Okay.
Omar.
Yes.
You guys.
Seriously.
You guys.
What are you doing?
Okay. Who's hungry?
It shouldn't be on TV. It really shouldn't be on radio.
So now Angelina really wants to prove that the number two didn't happen. So she's going to go through. She's going to do this.
You want to show Nicole them? Please? Sure.
What? Where? What the world am I living in right now?
Is there in my pants?
I've never in my life seen a woman take out her underwear and show people if there are skid marks are there just out in the open. Like,
no.
What the is going on?
Just goodness is going on, Vinny.
No,
when
Omar,
the guys in Jersey Shore
no.
are turned off by it.
Listen, this is magic, guys. How are you guys
define
not seeing the
magic?
So this is Angelina's last night, and this happened, and she's feeling really bummed and upset because they're thinking that she's all dirty and all like that. So here's Snooki comforting Angelina.
You're, like, arguing over a fart. Nicole definitely felt bad for me, so she's trying to make me feel better. Not many girls can be open about them farting, burping, this and that. Like, hey. I can't believe I cried over a fart. I know. How embarrassing.
That was an emotional
Omar.
Yeah, so guys, I'm going to need you guys to call my wife because I'm going to be gone for a week because I'm going to go chase down the woman of my dreams. See you guys in a week.
Allie, is it okay with you if Ruben sits down?
It's fine, Ruben. Thank you for joining us.
Check it. I want to make sure.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday morning here on K-Rock. By the way, comedian and Daily Show correspondent Roy Wood Jr. joins us in studio in the 8 o'clock hour. And if I remember correctly, from when he stopped by to see us in New York in February, he's a former radio host, too, as well. Roy is.
Yeah, that's where he started, right in the South.
Yeah, in Birmingham. Yeah. So I like him. I like Roy.
Such a radio
He'll be joining us coming up. Kevin's referring to our friend Ruben, who's in studio. Ruben, by the way, is a nice young man. If you call the Kevin and Bean Show and Beer Mug doesn't pick up, Ruben is the one who picks up. And he does a bunch of other stuff for us. He's a very nice man. And the reason he's in studio right now is because we were talking yesterday off the air about people who do the right thing even when it has negative repercussions for themselves. All right? So you're too honest for your own good. You could have gotten away with it if it weren't for you giving yourself up. Got a couple stories in the news about that, but let's start with you, Ruben. What'd you do?
Good morning, party people. Yeah, I experienced that a while back. It's a gas station that's very close to my house that mm-hmm. I used to go to all the time. So I'm sure the gas station attendant probably saw me more than once and could recognize me.
Oh, I see how the story changes immediately mm-hmm. upon second telling.
So I went in to purchase gas, and I had a $50 bill with me. And
money bags? What's
right?
happening over here?
What are we paying Ruben?
This is smallest I got, 50.
This is before I worked here when I actually made money.
Oh,
took a turn.
So, yeah, I had a $50 bill, and I went and put, you know, 20 bucks on whatever pump it was, mm-hmm. and the attendant gave me change as if I had given him a $100 bill.
So now you have 80 bucks.
Yeah.
Luck out.
So I was pretty happy about that,
sweet.
And I was like, yeah, my day's going pretty good. So I went out to pump gas, and I look across the street, and there's a church, mm. and then my Catholic guilt kicks in.
Okay,
yeah,
wait. All right, hold on. So let me just ask you a question. So he gives you $80 in change after you give him 50 bucks.
Yes.
Did you think about admitting it before you looked over and saw the church?
Yes, because as he was giving me the money, I thought to myself, score.
Right, but that's not what I'm saying. Then did you think I need to tell him the truth?
Yes,
you did.
Immediately.
I think Ruben needed the minute that it took him to walk back and start pumping his gas to really get the gears going in his head.
And see the church.
And realize this guy, I buy gas here all the time, and this guy's going to know it's me, and I'll probably get found out if I don't turn it
back.
So
it's more selfish than selfless, right?
I was just thinking about doing the right thing the whole time. Even though I knew I had extra money in my pocket, I was like, this isn't right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not your money.
Exactly. But
why hurt a small business?
Right. So I saw the church and immediately thought, I got to do the right thing now. So I walked.
If the church wasn't there.
I don't know. It could have been different. It could have worked out differently.
So you walked back in?
Walked back in, and I he was distracted, so I knocked on the window, and I said, hey, I think you gave me more change than you should have. Mm-hmm. And he looked over at, you know, the money I had given him, and he realized it was a 50, and he said, oh, okay. And he's like, and so I just slid the money to him, and he's like, thank you. Then he gave me the appropriate change.
And then he said, my son, I want 4 Hail Marys and 5 Our Fathers. I mean, really. What if that was Jesus?
You know.
Right?
So, Reuben, when you're driving away from that encounter, did you feel good about what you had done? Or were you, like, hitting yourself going, I'm stupid, stupid, stupid?
I felt like I had done the right thing, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I also felt hungry because I knew I could have gone down to the In-N-Out and grabbed a burger.
Is it better to do the right thing and be poor or do the wrong thing and get In-N-Out? I mean, I guess that's the question on the table.
I mean, In-N-Out does ruin that whole thing.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Reuben, I think you did the right thing. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Bean.
There's another story out of...
go answer the phones, Reuben.
Del Rapids, South Dakota. You can call us, by the way, if you were honest and it sort of came back and hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were honest, and there were repercussions for you. You benefited from not being honest, but you decided to be honest anyway.
1-800-520-1067. There's a girl named Kate Winja who was playing golf. So, I mean, you know, nothing real important. But she was in a tournament, and her high school was in a tournament. And she went back over her scorecard at the end, and she realized that she had given herself a 4 on hole 18 instead of a 5, which mm-hmm. was actually what she earned.
Okay.
She had won the tournament at this point, and her team had won the tournament at this point.
Oh.
So she goes back to them, and she says, I need to change this from a 4 to a 5. She was 3 or 4 strokes under, so she still would have won score-wise mm-hmm. had she not done that. But as soon as she says that she made a mistake on her score, they disqualify her.
From the whole thing?
Yes. So now she doesn't come in any place in that tournament, and her team doesn't win.
Oh, Kate.
Right?
Now, that's a really interesting example, Kevin, because as you said, she would have won anyway, even with the mistake not noticed. And she's not the only one who suffers the repercussion of her speaking up about this. Her team was disqualified as a result of the mistake on her scorecard,
and
right?
Here's what else I would say. If there was one stroke between you and second place, mm-hmm. okay, I can see that maybe there's an issue with that. But she was 3 or 4 strokes ahead. So the mistake on the scorecard didn't really affect who won or how.
It affected her heart, her soul.
And
she
her team, most
shame.
Of all.
She and her coach reported the violation to the tournament directors, who had no choice but disqualify her. That means her team finished second and not first, it says here. The situation is awful, but I have so much respect for Kate to come and do that, says the tournament director. I cannot say enough for that young lady and how much integrity that took and how proud I am for a kid like that to be living in South Dakota. That, I mean, again, she did the right thing.
Yeah.
What about the dude in Kansas that gave back the lottery ticket?
This is a crazy story. A guy comes into a convenience store in Salina, Kansas, with 3 lottery tickets to check to see whether they were winners. Well, for whatever reason, they checked 2 tickets, and he forgot or dropped the 3rd ticket on the counter and left the store. So the clerk picks up the 3rd ticket, runs it, and it's a $1 million winner.
Wow.
The guy's already gone, but the people at the convenience store roughly know where this guy lives. So they drive around his neighborhood to try to see his car so that they can tell him, hey, we have a $1 million lottery ticket that you accidentally left behind. This guy had no idea, by the way, I assume, that he had this ticket, right?
Yeah, I assume he thought that the guy checked them all and he didn't win.
That's it.
Right. Wow. Certainly not a winning ticket, right? They couldn't find his house, but they
at that point, right there you go, all right, look, we gave it a shot. We drove around.
We did the right thing. We couldn't find him.
Right. Oh, well.
So they couldn't find him. They go back, and at some point, the guy comes back in, and they're like, have we got news for you? You have $1 million.
You won $10,000.
That's what he would have done, right? That would have been a nice compromise. Everybody wins.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So they gave him the $1 million ticket. He said the man who runs the convenience store, Cal Patel, says he never thought about keeping the money. He couldn't live with the guilt from keeping the money. It felt good mm-hmm. to give it to the guy. And the praise we got back from everyone for doing this was really nice. They said it restored their faith in humanity. So that's what we're talking about right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. 877. You were honest to a fault. Should we take one real quick before the break?
I don't see one that's on hold, but we can.
I've got Matt, line two, on hold.
Okay.
And he's in Huntington Beach. Hey, Matt, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. Thank you for listening. So you did an honest thing, even though it cost you. What was it?
I was remodeling somebody's house a couple years ago. They had just purchased the house, and we were almost done with the house. They ended up being a very nice couple, and I was crawling around in the attic, and I moved some insulation, and there's this really thick white envelope. And I was like, oh, don't be full of money. I opened it up, and it absolutely was full of money. It was it had $2,700 in it.
Wow.
I stared at it for about 20 minutes. And you know those two little angels on your shoulders?
Which one was winning? Which one was winning for most of those 20 minutes?
Duking it out, man. So, you know, I had this moment of clarity. I was like, all right.
Hey,
so
Let me ask you a question. Did you think, hey, this might belong to the people that owned the house before, so giving it to the new couple, not necessarily returning it?
Well, I guarantee that's what it had a date like 1995 on it, so it'd been there for a long time. But the people that we were building the house for, they were really, really cool people. They'd bring, you know, tequila, and we'd do shots and stuff at the end of the week with them. They were they were really cool. I took the money down, and I said, hey.
Congratulations. I just found $700.
You know, well, I wish I had thought that, but I don't know.
$2,700.
But the lady, she like, her jaw hit the floor, and she's like, oh, my gosh. And she pulled out $300 and gave it to me.
Wow.
And then, like, the next week, she bought me this, like, $400 bottle of really nice tequila.
That's not where this is going.
Yeah. Okay.
Just bought
tequila. All right. You know, it's really not. She was a senior citizen, but, you know. That's
all right, Matt, let me ask you one
question. Ladies need love, too, Matt.
Let me ask you one question before we have to go, and that is, had the people whose home you were working on been dicks, had you really not liked them, do you think you would have kept the money?
Absolutely, I would have kept the money.
All right, Matt. Thank you for the call, sir. 1-800-520-1067. You were honest, and it cost you. Are we just trying to talk people out of being honest?
I mean, it feels that way, but no. I don't think that's our goal.
Mm-mm. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
All right, just had a green day. Let's take one phone call. Let's make it Jimmy in Eastvale. Hi there, Jimmy.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Jimmy, where the hell was Eastvale?
Eastvale is near Norco, California, near south of Ontario, right near the 15th.
Is it Norco, but they just don't want to go by Norco?
Okay, how dare you? No.
All right, we're talking about you were so honest it hurt. What'd you do?
My wife and I got our wedding rings and went in to pay for them, or actually went up to pick them up, and they never charged us. I was on that credit plan. 6 months went by. I never received a bill.
Wow.
I felt bad. I didn't want my credit to be ruined, and I thought, oh, something's going to go wrong. Went back in there thinking, doing the right thing. They said, yeah, you're right. We never charge you for your wedding rings, but now we will. So
that
I ended up...
You did the right thing, and you probably felt better in the long run.
I did, and it certainly paid off, but, you know, I thought, oh, maybe a discount or something. Nope. Thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
Plus interest, by the way.
I can imagine, though, you know, the bill doesn't show up for the first month. You think, okay, maybe it's just slow paperwork, and then it's like 2 months, and then it's like 3 months, and you realize, hey, maybe we got away with this, but then you just couldn't live with yourself, I guess. You don't want to start off your marriage on a lie like that, I guess, right?
Exactly. 20 years strong, sir.
Oh, look at you. Well, congrats, done, Jimmy.
Now, if you could only move her out of Eastvale, this would have a happy ending. Thank you for the call.
Eastvale alone.
1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock. Roy Wood Jr. from The Daily Show, stand-up comedian, very funny man, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour coming up on K-Rock. More Florence and the Machine tickets you can win and WWE SummerSlam tickets as well. Before we go back to these calls, Kevin, you had this happen to you.
Yeah, I was on the receiving end.
Super honest, right?
Yes, I left my wallet at a McDonald's and went home. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in there, it had my phone number on it, mm-hmm. and somebody that was just a customer called and said, hey, we have your wallet if you left it there. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. Like, I didn't even know where it was, of course, because I'm me.
Right.
And they said, yeah, we'll meet you here and we'll give it to you. And I was like, okay, great. So we set up a time. I went to the McDonald's, mm-hmm. and I figured, I don't know, there's 20 or 30 bucks in it. Mm-hmm. I figured they'd take the cash, but I got my credit cards back and my license, and so that would totally be worth it. They gave it to me with all the cash in it.
Did you give him a little something?
No, I needed that $30. I don't make Ruben money. No, of course I did. But it was that's a very cool thing for somebody to do.
Yeah.
Speaking of returning money, let's go to line 7. We'll get through as many of these as we can. This is going to be our friend Ray. He's in Chatsworth listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ray, so honest it hurts. What happened?
How's it going, guys?
Good, good. Thank you.
Good, good. So so when I was 18 years old, I during holiday season, my friends and I were walking around the mall, and I came across this little pouch, and inside of it was $5,000.
Wow.
Yeah. To my surprise, you know, I was super stoked at 18. I was really excited. I didn't know what to do with it. So I took it home for 2 days. Two days had gone by, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with it. I didn't tell my parents, didn't tell anyone else. And so I ended up going back to the same shopping center where there happened to be a little coffee shop. And it turns out that an older gentleman, probably in his 70s, had come back the last 2 days looking for the money. So I came back, and the clerk told me that was happening. That was happening. So I waited, and sure enough, he showed up, and I gave him back the money. I felt pretty good about it, but I will say that I was hoping that at 18 he would pull out a little hundo and give me something, but
of course.
I left empty-handed.
Out of $5,000, he's like, "Thank you," and just left.
Nothing for the kid. Wow.
Well, yeah, that's what happened.
You did the right thing anyway, Ray.
Yeah.
But if he'd have known in advance, he would have peeled off a hundo before he returned it, right?
Hey, congratulations. Here's your $4,900.
That is a, I know I'm Mr. Bad Example, but that's Uncle Billy and It's a Wonderful Life. That's the entire situation he just described right there.
Okay.
Very timely 1946 timely? Movie reference.
Let's jump line 6. That's that really brought it home.
Greg on from Long Beach. Hi, Greg. What's going on? Happy Friday.
Hey, how are you guys?
We are good.
Long-time listener.
Thank you, man.
Hey, I live out in Arizona. I was getting ready to go on a trip. It was 125 out there. It was supposed to be 130 the next day. Hottest day ever last year. My AC goes out. I call the AC guy. He tells me, all right, it's going to be $7,100. I said, just do it. My wife and I are going on our month-long motorhome trip. We're going along. No bill. He's not taking the money out of our account.
Wow.
So finally I called him at the end of the month, and I go, hey, why haven't you taken the money? And he's all, you know what? I would have never known if you didn't call me.
Wow.
$7,000, dude.
$7,100. The guy's the coolest guy. I mean, he came over right that morning, but he's like, if you would have, he's all, I'll buy you a beer. I don't care.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's good.
He's a good guy, and he's like, most people wouldn't even have called me, and I don't even know if I would have ever noticed it.
Yeah. Well, you did the right thing. I'm happy to hear your story, Greg. Thanks very much. By the way, 125 degrees, Kevin?
Yeah. Happens.
Crazy.
Happens in Phoenix. It does. Insane.
Let's go to Wisconsin, line 1. This is going to be our friend Robert checking in on the Kevin and Bean Show. Robert, thank you for streaming the show. How are you today?
Good. How about yourself?
We are good. Thank you.
Good. This is a crazy topic, man. We got a lot of listeners who actually are pretty good people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was at a Chase Bank in Hawaiian Gardens, and I was walked in, and next to where you pay, put your withdrawal slips and things like that, I start filling one out. I thought it was my wallet, and so I picked it up, put it in my pocket. When I did, I realized how fat it was. It wasn't my wallet, not with that much cash in it. I pull it out. And there's probably close, I mean, I didn't count it, but it was probably close to $2,000 in $100 bills. Oof. And so I start looking around, seeing if anybody's missing a wallet, because I don't want to just hand it to anybody, and didn't want to look through it because it looks, you got cameras and everything like that.
So right.
I started asking, hey, is there anybody that's missing anything? The guy starts, this Asian guy starts tapping his wallet, kind of looking for his wallet, and goes, oh, it's mine. And I go, well, what color is it? He explains it, it's his. And I hand it back to him. And him and his buddy start counting the cash 3 different times. Start looking through the wallet, everything like that.
Sort of accusing you of stealing it?
Basically, they were looking at it. They looked for their cards. They looked for everything in it. And then they started looking me up and down like, I wonder if this guy stole anything. And then they start talking to each other, and I didn't understand it. But they looked at me through the whole entire line, kept looking backwards at me, checking me out.
Robert's just very suspicious looking, you guys.
Right?
I guess so. But, I gave him his cash back, and he ended up looking like I was stealing from him.
Hmm. And any reward for you?
No, he didn't even say thank you. to be honest. He never even said thank you.
Maybe he did and you didn't understand it.
Right, exactly. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's do one more real fast because, and this is the one I actually meant to go to. Adelina, line two. She's in Anaheim. This one involves, this was the non-involved cash.
All right, Adelina, hi.
Hi.
So, thank you for listening and holding on.
Yes. So last year, I won the Kings of Leon.
I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to talk to you because of your phone.
Talk a little bit softer.
Hello?
Talk a little. Hello? Okay.
Hello?
Yeah. I mean, okay.
Okay.
I don't feel like. All right. Try to tell us.
Okay. So I won the Kings of Leon London trip.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Oh, no.
Thank you, though, for calling. We appreciate it. Just your phone is real bad. It's just painful for people to listen to.
It's a good one to go out on, though.
I think so. We like to end strong.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Hey, Allie, what's happening on this Friday morning?
Well, what's happening is it's 7:54, and around this time every Friday, we bring you a little feature called That's My Jam. It's a playlist that everybody here on the Kevin and Bean Show adds to every single week. It's music that we love, maybe a new song that we're just really enjoying at the moment. Maybe it's a treasure that you forgot about, and you're like, oh, man, remember this song? So good, because we all have very varied musical taste. Sure. So we thought, what a fun thing to put this playlist together. And then every week we'll update it with songs that we love. You can follow along that playlist. We've linked it to all of our Kevin and Bean social medias at Kevin and Bean on Twitter and Facebook. So if you click on that, follow it, you're going to have new music delivered to you every single week. It is That's My Jam. Let's start it off with Kevin's choice.
Do you guys ever discover music from TV shows?
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
Because mine came from SEAL Team, which I love, with David Boreanaz on CBS.
Uh-huh.
That's a great show.
Okay.
And the last episode that I watched, I'm maybe one behind, so I'm not sure it was exactly the last episode, but there was a song at the end of it that I really was drawn to, so I Shazammed it.
Yeah, you did.
And I discovered I didn't know about 2 Feet. You guys know about 2 Feet?
It's no.
It's a guy that is out of Harlem. He's a multi-instrumental player. He works in electronic music along with like some jazz and some blues. And this song is the song that I discovered from the TV show SEAL Team. It's called I Feel Like I'm Drowning. I feel like I'm drowning. My choice.
Nice.
You actually do find a lot of good music on TV because the more unknown it is, the cheaper it is to license.
Right.
So those music supervisors are all the time just looking for unknown artists that they can use their music for that works. And yeah, that sounds real good. Who's next, Allie?
You're next, Bean.
Well, it's no surprise that the band The 1975 is talented. We play them a bunch here on K-Rock. I have loved this band since their first record, and they have released their first new song in a couple of years. They got 2 albums coming out. They're releasing 1 new album in October, and they already have another one recorded to release next May. So I'm very excited. The 1975 is back. Here's a little taste of their new song called Give Yourself a Try. I can't help but think it's got a little Owl City in it, by the way.
And Owl City.
I don't know that I would point that out if I were you.
You're
trying to get
right.
People interested in following the playlist.
I think you guys will like the whole song, though, if you want to check it out on the That's My Jam playlist.
Oh, man. All right. I'm up next. This is a band that I have been talking about for a while. I absolutely love them. Their name is Public Access TV. They've opened for The Killers. Obviously, that's how I found them. But Weezer, Green Day, The Pixies, a lot of huge K-Rock bands. And this is a band that has opened up for them. Their first album, Never Enough, loved it. Street Safari came out, and I was like, what's happening, young men? This is a song called Metro Tech. Well, if you're staying for the locker, sign me up. You're so emotional, don't try to hide it. So weighing through a night walk around the clock, it's only rational, don't try. Here's the thing.
It's got a lot of that 80s Depeche Mode feel.
That's what Allie loves. It's like Bad Audio Dynamite with The Clash, and then there's a song on it. I'm like, are you all the kids of the Ramones? Like, every single song on this album is freaking amazing. I love it. So if you want to follow along, it's the That's My Jam playlist. Just go to any Kevin and Bean social media, Twitter, Facebook, at Kevin and Bean. Click on it. Follow it. You're going to have new music every single week from us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
Thank you, sir. Some birthdays for you. Kanye West, Maria Menounos, and Juliana Margulies. And that's what's happening.
All right, we need some people to help us out with a topic. We're looking for you to be part of a scientific survey.
Oh,
good.
So we want you to call now, 1-800-520-1067. Then when you're on hold, we'll explain the situation to you, and then you get to vote in our scientific survey. 1-800-520-1067. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:04.
You have food in your mouth.
I did. I was trying desperately to finish it.
Who brought in the food today?
Wahoo's. Wahoo's fish tacos.
Yeah. Looks pretty good, you guys.
I'm
not going to lie. Looks pretty good.
I have a chicken taco in my mouth.
Hey, it's a Friday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means 1 hour from right now, we'll be giving you the opportunity to pick any song you want us to play. Our tradition here on Fridays is Keep It 100. Also, pound for pound, one of the greatest fighters in the history of the world.
Nope.
Roy Wood Jr. is going to be joining us in studio coming up in about 10 minutes.
No.
What? So dumb.
You're so dumb.
First, though, Kevin, let's talk about our scientific survey. You asked for folks to call. We have five callers on hold who do not know when they picked up the phone to dial us. They had no idea what they were going to be asked to vote on because we want everybody to get the information at the same time. We didn't want any pre-bias as they were dialing. What's the story on the table today?
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Here's the topic. There are some parents in England who fly first class. And they did an interview where they talk about putting their kids in coach because it's too expensive to fly your kids first class and they wouldn't appreciate it anyway. And they are fine with it. The kids are 10 and 12.
Okay. So they're not like 4 and 5.
Right. So they put their kids in coach and then they fly in first class.
So this is a television personality in the UK named Kirsty Alsop. She did an interview with the Sun newspaper, and she said some have suggested that she should look after her children and sit with them. She says that's utter rubbish. Her son's in premium seat seems like an absurd waste of money and very spoiling. She also pointed out the money saved from not buying two more expensive seats allows her family to take more holidays. Listen to this. Club class should be a huge treat that you've worked for. If kids get used to club class, what do they have to work towards?
Right?
So it's not just about saving money. It's about teaching your kids that they don't deserve first class. Others have questioned the impact on other people on the flight. One former crew member said it was unfair on the staff and other passengers end up as babysitters.
See, that's my question, is I totally understand from a financial standpoint, if you want to fly first class, it's crazy expensive, put your kids in coach. I totally see that. But out of all the children in the United States, let's say, or Britain, where this happened, what percentage of them would you say are super well-behaved?
I will say this. At 10, I would have been harassing the hell out of my 12-year-old brother. For sure.
Right.
My parents weren't around? Are you kidding
me? Parents weren't around, exactly. Yeah.
So then who has to take care of the kids? Who has to say something to them? Who has to correct them? Who has to... I don't know. So I see it from a financial standpoint.
Right.
But
I am kind of two minds on this because I think there are a lot of 10 and 12-year-olds who would be mature enough to be okay on a flight.
Agreed.
Right.
But I also think there are a lot that wouldn't. And a lot, as Allie pointed out, that not under the watchful eye of a parent would look at that as an opportunity to get into some trouble. Mm-hmm. Now, Mrs. Alsop, the television personality in the interview, she said she always introduces herself to the cabin crew and says to them, please alert me if there are any problems.
Congratulations, you're going to be taking care of my children.
So she says, if they are causing a problem, if they're kicking a seat or a passenger complains or they're unruly or whatever, or loud or whatever, let me know and I'll handle it.
Now, that's two steps later, though, is my thing.
It is. It's two steps later.
If you're there, you know.
And it also involves somebody in coach to come up to first class and take time away from whatever he or she is doing back there for work and visit first class and drag that person. I mean, I do think it adds another step. So.
Right. Ma'am, if you could put your champagne down, your children are being real a-holes in coach.
She is getting some support, too. One said online, it is not bad parenting. It's about choice. Teaching kids a degree of controlled independence is important.
Mm-hmm. I think it's about good parenting if you're a good parent.
Yeah.
And then your kids will be fine.
Right.
You coach, and I have no problem with it.
However, how many parents think they're a good parent and have no idea that their kids are dicks?
It is true that every parent thinks other kids are dicks and their kids are angels. That is true. By the way, this is not the first time this has happened. Gordon Ramsay, in an interview last year, revealed the same, that he and his wife fly first class and he puts his kids in economy. So how do you feel about that? Is she abdicating her parental responsibility by sitting 80 rows away from her kids? Or is the fact that they're 10 and 12 old enough that she can reasonably assume they're not going to cause problems for other pastures? I can kind of see both ways, but this is why we do a scientific survey, because that settles it once and for all. We don't have to guess anymore. We know what the right answer is.
And then our answer is binding, right? We let all the airlines know.
It's binding. Yeah, we let them know that this is the way Eric, for instance, in Oak Park has voted. Eric, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening to the evidence. What say you on this?
As a dad, I could say that other people's kids are dicks.
Right. Do you think this is a good practice?
No. I think that they should move up to first class with them, or, you know, if they're paying that much money in the first place, they got the money.
Okay.
All right.
So, in other words, you just don't trust a 10 and a 12-year-old to be away from their parents for the duration of a flight.
I wouldn't. No. If I was 10 or 12, no way.
Same.
Okay.
Same. Right. And I was 10 or 12, and I wouldn't.
You wouldn't
want to sit next to me.
Oh.
All right, Eric, so we got one no. Thank you, Eric.
Eric says no. All right. Let's see what Daniel's all about. He's on line two up next on the Kevin Bean Show from L.A. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Can you see this lady's point that it just costs a lot of money, the kids don't appreciate it, they don't need first class, put them in coach?
As soon as you guys started... As soon as I started hearing, I was already shaking my head. Oh, no, no.
And what's your reason?
Well, I have two kids. You lead by example. You don't just leave them in the back. You have them next to you. Teach them.
Yeah, all but right. Free-range kids.
No free-range kids. That's what he's voting against, Bean.
He's a no. Daniel's
saying no. So that's two right. No's.
So already two.
Wow.
Imagine the weight on Sam's shoulders.
Well, I was wondering if we want to go to one of the ladies. Would this be the type of topic that we should have a lady be the third vote,
let's
perhaps?
Be honest. Fine. We need a break from our kids. Who's with me?
All right. Let's try Myra then. Myra's also in L.A. She's on line five. Myra, scientific survey. It could come down to you if you agree with the previous callers.
No, she's not being responsible. What she's doing is she's just taking a break before she has to deal with them on vacation.
So putting them back in coach is the wrong thing for her to do.
Well, yeah, and imagine, you know, worst comes to worst, the plane goes down. Your kid's so far away.
The plane goes down. How do you go right to the plane goes down scenario?
It got dark fast.
Somebody was thinking about it.
No one was thinking about it.
Myra.
Zero people were thinking about it, Myra.
The last thing on your mind when the plane goes down is how far away people are sitting.
It's true, though. Come on. A little bit back in your mind, you were thinking about it.
Nope. Not even a little bit. Didn't even occur to me.
Nope, but takes the day, apparently.
Well, yeah,
you're a no, though, right? Myra is a no.
Right.
Okay. All right, so Kevin, go ahead and alert the airlines.
This
is no longer allowed. This has been a scientific survey.
That was Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Kevin, how long has it been since a guest showed up to this program in a suit? In a suit. When was the last time we saw somebody looking as sharp as Roy Wood Jr. looks right now?
You know what? I can tell you. It was one of the last guys that was on The Daily Show before he went to do his own show.
Was it Jordan? Did he wear a
suit? Yes, Jordan Klepper.
Klepper.
Yes. Nice.
You have a dress code at The Daily Show?
With
what's
thin
going on?
Ties. No, just for television. But, you know, we have to go and host this Twitter library thing.
Right, which is bizarre that I just heard about.
It's amazing. It's crazy. So I say all that to say I'm dressed up nice because pictures will be taken and my mother will find them.
Fair enough. Well, let's get that business taken care of first, because I read the article in the LA Times a couple of days ago about this that's opening up. It's at 631 North Robertson Boulevard in West Hollywood. The Daily Show with Trevor Noah presents the Donald J. Trump Presidential Twitter Library. You've already seen it in person, Roy?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen it two or three times. We've been traveling this exhibit for probably about, I'd say about 8 or 9 months now.
And oh, wow. Describe it for us.
It's basically a walk through the president's brain. That's the only way I can describe it. We've basically taken all of the tweets from the commander-in-chief from the first time he tweeted on the Twitter sphere, I'd say back in 2009, and we split these tweets up into the best of the best based on categories. So
what are some of the categories?
His wars with corporations. There's an entire wall dedicated to some of the best tweets about his wars with corporations.
Okay.
His best conflicts with celebrities. Deleted tweets, which we treat as a memorial.
Oh, that's nice.
They're gone but not forgotten. Tweets on policy. Tweets where he's contradicted himself. Tweets
that's
on
my
sports.
Favorite, Trump versus Trump, that category.
There's an entire wall dedicated to Obama. President Obama is the single person that President Trump has mentioned in his tweets more than
I would
anyone
have thought Hillary
else.
By far.
Yeah.
Nah, he was hating on Obama
really?
Before.
Mm-hmm.
He had 8 years to cook Obama.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
He cooked Obama
but
for
I didn't
8 years.
I guess I didn't follow him, but I didn't know he was active on Twitter at all before.
Absolutely.
He became
He's a businessman. Trump's not dumb. He knows that he can influence some policy here and there with a couple words. He knows what his words can do. So it's a fun exhibit. Whether you're a supporter of the president or not, it's very interesting. It's mm-hmm. an extremely interesting thing to see just how someone's mind works. It's almost like going back and looking through shards of his diary.
Yeah. It must be weird just to see it in writing. Like, you hear that he says these things, whatever, but then in front of you, you're like, those words are real.
When you literally see one tweet where he says one thing, and right there on the next placard is a right. total contradiction uh-huh. to what he said.
Right.
It's very interesting.
Not to stand up for him, but I assume all of us would be embarrassed if our tweets were put up on a wall. You know what I mean? Like contradicting ourselves.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
What?
You said that out loud.
You probably saw the press conference the other day where he was raving about how nice the letter was that Kim Jong-un sent from North Korea. And then 5 minutes later in the same speech, he was asked another facet of the letter. And he said, I haven't opened it yet. Haven't read it yet.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I mean, 5 minutes later, he completely contradicted it. It's like you have no idea what's going on in that brain of his.
He was teasing the journalists that were there, right? He was like, I should show it to you. Should I show it to you? I should show it to you. Oh, I'm not gonna. I'm like, what are you doing? What's happening right now?
Can we all agree that Trump and Kim is the new it couple? I'm off of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. Trump and Kim, I'm telling you.
That's a thing. That's going to be the next.
They look darling together.
They are.
Dennis Rodman is the ring bearer.
Man. Oh, wow. This is happening, you guys.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah presents the Donald J. Trump Presidential Twitter Library. Again, is at 631 North Robertson Boulevard in West Hollywood. How long is it going to be there? Just this weekend and next, right?
Yeah, this weekend and next. You got like a good, I think it opens at like 10. It goes from like 10 to 7, 10 to 8, regular LA hours.
All right.
Do you have time to fight traffic to get there?
You don't have to get up early, though. That's good.
So, Roy, how have you been since we saw you in New York back in early February?
Well, I've been potty training my two-year-old. That's been going interesting.
All right.
Train wreck.
Training or the type of thing your wife handles while you're out on the road?
Training or trained?
Well, you know what? We're trying to do all that. Man, bond with man. Man, son. Man, dad. Dad, bond with boy. Man, teach boy. Where point urine. And it's going terrible because I don't have the nurturing. Like, the videos I've watched on YouTube, apparently there's a lot of, yay, you almost did it. Yay, you poopy in the potty. And My brain, the nurture part of my brain is still off.
Right.
Yeah. And I just go, put it in the bowl, man.
Good shot.
How do you not know?
Does your wife stand by just to take over when you've completely
failed? No, so I let her leave the house.
You do?
She left. They say that's, again, all these books. It should just be the child and one parent. The other parent should go on a vacation. And she
that
went on a vacation.
That depends a lot on the parent.
She went
Let
on a vacation.
Say that.
She
went on a vacation.
Yeah, I said, go away. That way we're not confusing. And he's just getting all the info from one person. And by day two, I was texting her, you can come home whenever you want. He's back in diapers. He's back in diapers. We'll try again. I was listening to some audiobook and it said, listen to your baby. Sometimes baby isn't ready for potty. Baby will let you know.
Why
you know what?
You like a baby?
Then I'm going to wait till baby. My son might be 13 and go, you know what, dad? I'm tired of you changing me. And I go, you know what? Me too, 13-year-old child. Thank you for notifying me, just like the book said you would. It's
maybe you're
terrible.
Reading too many books. And
that's what happened.
I'm saying
too many things on YouTube.
Honestly,
and all that.
If you read too many childcare books, you will get conflicting advice on everything.
Sure.
And is this your first one, Roy?
Yes, clearly. Mm. I'm experimenting on him.
Yeah. All right, take it easy. We didn't know.
Some people are just as bad with the second one.
It's like, if I haven't gotten it right after, maybe I should not have any more children. Yeah, they have this method where you let the kid just drop turds with no pants on. Have you heard of this one?
No.
I call it free range.
No!
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's really a thing. Wait till the people tweet you and tell you. Because I guarantee you, somebody will tweet you and go, I did it with my child and they learned it in 2 days.
No.
Yeah, I tried that as well.
Oh, man.
And he eats an all, like, vegetable diet. My girl pretty much feeds him vegan, vegetarian, whatever. Mm-hmm. So when you don't eat meat, there's really no strain.
Okay. I don't think we need more detail. No, but
that's enough.
No.
I think we understand where you're going with that.
We know how poop works.
What I'm saying is...
We know what you're saying.
We know what you're saying.
The book said,
right.
Wait for the baby to strain. There's no straining.
Okay.
When you don't eat meat.
I'm going to contradict you and say we know where you're going.
Roy Wood Jr. is here. I'm regretting that. I don't know about you.
I went to college.
Take a quick break, I guess, and be back with more after this.
If you ever get the chance, have Roy Wood tell you stories off the air. You'll enjoy it. That's a lot of fun right there.
Roy, I remember when we were lucky enough to have you visit with us in New York a couple of months ago. I was very impressed that you had a long radio career. You were on the radio in Birmingham, right? And I didn't know until this story you broke on Twitter last week that prank calls were part of your thing.
I didn't know that either.
Oh, prank calls were my bread and butter.
That's what you lived on.
That was – the prank calls worked for me because I was able to do them on the radio, and then I would package them on CDs and mail them to other radio stations and markets where I wasn't performing.
Interesting.
So that to get my pranks on for free, and just it was just professional courtesy. Hey, man, you're a morning show, I'm a morning show. Here's some free stuff to play if you want.
No one's ever done that for us.
And so then I'd let it sit for 3 months, and then I'd call the comedy club in that market and go, hey, my prank call's playing your market. You should book me at your comedy club. So the pranks became the currency.
You're a genius.
At the time, it worked. I don't know if you could do it now.
Well, you can't do any prank calls anymore, Roy.
Yeah, all the game
clamped down so much on the rules in terms of getting permission to put people on the air and all that. Because we used to do a bunch of
one-party state, two-party state.
Exactly.
Comedy Central did prank call. They had that prank show, Crank Anchors. They would film it in Nevada so that legally they could do the pranks the way they wanted to without being bothered.
Right.
I did a lot of prank calls, and I think only twice in my history of doing pranks did I ever legitimately fear for my life.
You have to tell us about Jay Prince because that's a weird, weird story.
So Jay Prince, and the only way I can explain, and this isn't a fair comparison, is because he's more professional and more business-oriented, but he was like a down south Suge Knight.
Right.
He, before No Limit, before Cash Money, before Death Row, before Bad Boys, Rap-A-Lot Records in Houston is a hip-hop institution, and Jay Prince was the brainchild of that, and a lot of what he did rippled out to other hip-hop record labels. He's respected the same as Gotti, the same as Scarface.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is a man you do not mess with.
Is he the one that squashed Drake and Pusha T?
Yeah, he told Drake, don't do it. And Drake's
like, all right.
That's
why he was back in the news, and I think that's what jarred your memory about this, right, Roy?
When gangbangers want to shoot people in Houston, they have to get permission.
Wow.
From Jay, like if a rapper has beef with somebody, you talk to Jay before you come in my city starting mess because that's bad for business. And everything is about business with this man. So some stupid record label in Houston.
Oh, it's their fault.
Tells me you should prank call Jay Prince. I go, you know what? That's a good idea. I think I will prank call Jay. Nobody's ever. It's a challenge.
Had you ever met him?
Don't know this man at all.
All right.
Big fan of his artist.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Call Jay Prince. He answers the phone. Hello. And the premise of the prank, I'm a local record store owner. Hey, man, your rap label sucks. None of your albums fly off my shelf. I want to be reimbursed for these trash albums that I bought.
So you make a ridiculous claim and then see if he'll respond.
Pay my rent because I'm not making profit. And I yell, I curse, and my pranks are just stuff I would never repeat to people now.
Right.
But at the time, I'm laying into him, and he just said, where you at?
I'm sorry?
I said, what? Where you at right now?
Oh, my butthole puckered.
You wanna talk money? Let's talk face to face. Just tell me where you at. And I've never had anyone respond to me that calm and calculated and non-responsive.
Completely like, under control.
Wow.
Wow.
The engineer in the room starts shaking. This is a true story. The engineer who knows Jay and one of the guys who go, oh, yeah, it'll be great. He'll think it's a laugh. He's quiet now, like not wanting to be attached to this situation.
Sure.
My producer jumps on the mic. He goes, hey, Jay, it's us at the record. Like, we're just prank calling you, man. That's Roy. He's a comedian. Everything's fine. It was just a prank call. Oh, y'all up there at that studio in Kingwood.
Wait a minute, that didn't solve it, them saying it's a comedian and it's all?
I know exactly where y'all at.
Oh, God.
Hey, man, turn the car around. Click.
Okay. Really?
Okay.
So, I gather my things. I'm gone. I'm not staying.
By gone, you mean home?
I'm leaving. I left the state of Texas.
You went to the airport?
That's not even a joke.
I literally went to the airport.
I was like, I'm not playing around with this man. And they go, oh, it's cool. We'll get him back on the phone. I go, no, this man who I know has a lot of people who, like, knowing what I know now, you can't insult this man that's that revered.
Right.
And expect that to go play out in public because that is bad for business.
Sure.
Because the respect is what he leans on. I'm disrespecting you. It's not funny.
Right.
It doesn't work for what he does. So he never saw the humor in it. I understand that now. But at the time, it was just, yo, somebody got to come check this comedian because this comedian from out of town think it's cool to just call my chinchilla coat squirrel. So I packed my up. I gathered my stuff. And I went straight to the airport. And I got a standby ticket to Birmingham, Alabama. I didn't go back to Houston for like 6 years. Like, it was
unbelievable.
Now, you were
gone.
On MTV when?
So I tell that story on Twitter on Monday because of the Pusha T beef. And I go, yo, this is a dude to be respected. Sway Calloway, God bless Sway, has Jay Prince in studio. And unbeknownst to me, Sway calls me and gives me the opportunity to apologize to Jay Prince. And Jay Prince remembered the prank. This was 2006.
Yeah.
Did you watch the video afterwards of you calling an apology?
Yeah, because I was watching his body language. He was not. Yo, you could tell. And at the end, Sway asked Jay Prince, he goes, did you really drive over to the studio? To which Jay Prince said, I was just going to go over there and laugh with him.
Oh, no.
You like laughing. I just wanted to come over there and laugh.
Oh, I'm terrified for you.
Yo.
Oh, but he ended up saying, oh, it was fine.
It's cool now. Yeah, we're cool now.
But
in 2006, that was a very real mistake that I made.
And that was prank call one of an album, right?
Yeah, so it was supposed to be a full. I had a contract. I had a record deal. I had a record deal to do a prank call album where I prank call celebs. Jay Prince was the first artist.
Yeah.
He was the first person I was supposed to prank. I walked out on the deal. I just said, I'm not doing it.
Did you have to call the record company and say, you're at the airport?
What? No, I told them. They were right there in the studio. They go, where are you going? We have other people to prank. I go, no, we are done. This dude can't take a joke, and I can't risk any of these other idiots on our hit list of people to prank. Like, we're going to prank, like, Bun B, Vince Young. You got to remember, this is 2006. He's a 2006 celebrity.
Sure.
It's like...
So the Ying Yang Twins.
There you go. So... I was like, no, I'm done. And the record deal was consignment, so I was only getting paid on what we sold, so you didn't give me an advance, so you didn't lose any money other than the 22 minutes of studio time we spent shaking in our boots from Jay Prince.
Well, you literally dodged a bullet, it sounds like, Roy.
Amazing.
We're almost out of time, I'm sorry to say. Roy, you're going to be down at the Trump Twitter Library Museum exhibit today, right?
Come on down there. Me and all the other correspondents will be out there throwing high fives, taking pictures. Just kissing babies and just slapping
open
some tweets.
This weekend and next weekend, 631 North Robertson Boulevard in West Hollywood. Roy Wood Jr. on Twitter. Before you go, 60 seconds with Roy. Kevin is going to throw questions at you. First thing that comes to your mind, please answer Roy. And go.
When you go to a Starbucks now, what type of reaction do you get?
They like me. I get hugs.
Okay. What were you like in high school?
Nerd and quiet, except for baseball. I was very funny because I wrote the bench.
What is the most embarrassing TV show that you enjoy?
Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Ugh. Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Hell no.
What's the thing most people would be surprised to find out about you?
That I enjoy classical music and like Boston Pops Orchestra. Like I enjoy live orchestra stuff.
All right. When you're not working, what do you enjoy doing the most?
Sleep and Nintendo Switch. Video games. Any video game console.
Have you ever been in a fight?
Two in my life. One loss, one tie.
Tie? You walk away from a tie?
No, the teacher came and broke it up. Before okay. We could really...
What's the last thing you Googled?
Oh, I don't know. Just let me...
Probably porn?
It's possible. It's possible.
Roy, we need to see it again in another 3 months, my friend. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
Take it, man. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Hey, is it Keep It 100 time?
Yep.
Keep It 100, you guys. That is just some examples of the great taste you have every week at this time. You can text us any song you've ever heard on K-Rock. If we still have in the system, we'll be happy to play it for you. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Text us right now for Keep It 100 on K-Rock. Allie, you're up. What's happening?
I am up. And I would like to give something away, you guys.
All right.
How about callers 20 and 21 at 1-800-520-1067? You are going to get a pair of tickets to WWE's live SummerSlam Heatwave Tour.
Yay!
Yeah. It is going down at Honda Center on June 24th. So callers 20 and 21, you're going to see Roman Reigns.
That's it?
That's it.
Yeah, some other guys. It'll be great. I feel like Roman's going to turn. Roman's going to.
You do?
Yeah. He's got to. He's got to.
Okay.
He's got to.
Okay.
Pair of tickets. Live. SummerSlam Heatwave Tour at Honda Center. It's all about the WWE. June 24th. You guys, there are some pretty good movies coming out this weekend.
Are there?
Can I interest you in any of them? Like an Ocean's 8. I mean, pretty good cast. Sandra Bullock. Cate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Mindy Kaling.
Does seem like a great cast.
Amazing cast, if you don't know about it. It's basically an all-female crew. They're going to attempt an impossible heist at the Met Gala.
So you want to hit a jewelry store?
Not exactly.
The diamond mine.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Or the Met.
The Met will be hosting its annual ball, and we are going to rob it.
Oh.
$16.5 million in each of your bank accounts 5 weeks from now.
That's a lot.
Why do you need to do this?
Because it's what I'm good at.
All right.
All right. It looks so good.
All right.
I'm into it, for sure. Have you guys heard about this Hotel Artemis?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bizarre movie.
Bizarre. Jodie Foster, Sterling K. Brown, Brian Tyree Henry, De Bautista. It's set in riot-torn future L.A. It's a hotel that follows the nurse who runs this. It's like a secret members-only emergency room for really bad people. Mm. It is disturbing. It's very dark.
Is it real?
It might be.
Easy, fellas. Everybody's gonna get fixed up. Now, verify your memberships, and we're off to the races.
The Artemis is a secret hospital for criminals. It's a portable vault.
Worth about $18 million.
Wolf King's probably gonna want those back.
Okay, this is a real problem. It's here.
Open the gate.
That's against the rules.
The rules?
Without the rule breakers, honey, where would you be?
You know, you might want to buy some scented candles or something, because it smells like somebody died in here.
They did.
Yeah, a lot of death. Hmm.
I'll tell
movie.
You that Jodie Foster doesn't work enough for my money.
Oh,
she's
reaching
everything.
Yeah. Amen. And really, Bean, if you're not seeing this, what is wrong with you? It's a documentary on, of course, the legendary, iconic children's television host Fred Rogers. It's I knew it, kids. It's in limited release. It's called "Won't You Be My Neighbor."
He was always trying to get a message across in every show.
A week on death.
What does assassination mean?
On divorce.
Some people get married, and after a while, they're so unhappy that they don't want to be married anymore.
They didn't want black people to come and swim in their swimming pools. By being on the program was a statement for Fred.
Love is at the root of everything. All learning, all relationships, love or the lack of it. Children have very deep feelings, just the way everybody does. Won't you be my neighbor?
Don't you dare.
I'm tearing up.
Okay. Kevin,
don't
do
be
it.
Mean.
Don't do it.
What are you guys talking
You're
about?
You're going to play
You're
going
to try to make it dirty.
Yes.
Am I going to play a clip that he said? Out of context, you're going to try to make him seem like some sort of a pervert instead of the great American that he was.
I get all soapy.
Okay.
You know, soap suds all over me.
Right.
And then my grandfather would take this hose and go like this with me. He'd squirt all over me until the soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds off.
It's not soap.
So you were playing?
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
Well, I'm sure that's not a movie, but...
How about some make-believe about toes?
Okay.
I mean...
Oh.
Come on, Kevin.
Come
what
on.
Are you doing?
Kevin.
He's a nice man.
I don't know what... There's something about him that freaks me out.
Yeah. I've talked about this before.
He's like a clown where he's too perfect
he's
and
not,
nice.
He,
and so
he was the same off-camera as he was on-camera.
Yeah, I don't buy
you can
it.
Ask anyone who ever met him and they'll
not
tell you.
It. I've told this story on air. I was not allowed to watch it as a kid. Because my dad found him super creepy. Yet, I was super into Benny Hill back then. That's a little look into my childhood.
Wow.
That my dad's like, come on, kids, we're watching
this
Benny Hill.
This is good.
Crazy. Also, you guys, in limited release, and I just want to mention it because Nick Offerman. Have you guys seen, it's called Hearts Beat Loud?
I haven't.
It's Nick Offerman and his daughter. They come together as a unlikely singer-songwriter duo before she leaves for college. They write a song together. It gets this big radio play, and he's like, let's do this. Let's become a band before you leave for college. And she's like, Dad, you're so weird. This is awful. If you watch this preview, Hearts Beat Loud, and your soul... It is so beautiful. You will cry. You will laugh. Nick Offerman, good Lord, you're a perfect human being. That, too, is in limited release as well. So which one are you in for, Kevin?
Ocean's 8.
Ocean's 8. All right. Bean?
Some people call it a mouth organ because you blow in there.
I'm in for Mr. Rogers, regardless of what creepy Kevin says.
I'm going to see Hearts Beat Loud. And Chip is going to see Hotel Artemis.
I was, actually.
Because she... loves death.
She does.
Said it for years.
And evil. She loves both.
Right? Mm-hmm. Some birthdays for you. Rapper Kanye West, TV show host Maria Menounos, and actress Juliana Margulies. And that's what's happening.
All right, we're getting ready to go into the Wayback Machine, you guys. It's time for Keep It 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
All right, here you go, guys. Texter number 99 today was Limp Bizkit and Faith.
All right.
I wouldn't have minded that.
I don't hate that.
Chip, you would have been so happy to hear some Limp Bizkit on K-Rock again. And caller one, Texter 101, by the way, Jackie was looking for Given to Fly by Pearl Jam. That's one I haven't heard in a long time.
Agreed.
Great to choices, everybody. Thank you for participating in Keep It 100. Only one person can be number 100, though. And this week, it's James from Westminster who joins us on the phone right now. Hey, James.
Good morning. I can't believe it when Dave called me.
Dave told us that this is not your first time texting for Keeper 100.
I've tried every single week since the get-go.
Same song?
Are you serious? Almost a year? Always the same song?
No. Usually it's a different song, depending on my mood or whatnot.
Gotcha.
I was 101 once.
Oh, wow. Mm. Okay. Well, tell us how you chose your song today and then introduce it for us here on K-Rock.
Oh, I'd be glad to. Well, it's just it's an older song. I feel it's kind of a lost song, forgotten song. I think it deserves some airplay. It reminds me of my Disneyland days when I worked at Disney back in the day. So I would love to start this song out for the weekend. It is the movie Nowhere Girl.
Nice. Nicely done. Keep it 100. Can I tell you something funny about this song?
Sure.
There's two versions of it.
Uh-huh.
One version has a 12-second introduction before they start singing.
Like a radio edit, almost?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This one had a 3-minute introduction, and we were starting to think that there was no vocal. We were like, are we just playing an instrumental?
I thought it was like a karaoke track.
Yeah, because it's in our system, but we haven't played it in a long time, so we have no idea which version this is.
Amazing. Yeah, it took a while to get going.
I didn't hate it. I think James got his money's worth from his text today.
Oh, sure,
I'll tell you
sure.
That.
Too much.
That was the Keep It 100 request from James in Westminster. All right, Allie. Do What You Do. What year was Nowhere Girl by B-Movie?
Well, it's when James worked at Disneyland, and I know that was back in the mid-80s is when he worked there. You're saying 82, Kevin? Oh,
Kevin just posted the video, so he knew. Yes, it is 1982.
What about cheating?
I thought that was your
what
guess,
is it about
like you
cheating?
Wanted to guess.
No, I was trying to help you get the right answer.
Well, you know what? I want to be truthful, and I was going to say 1985.
Okay. It was originally released in 1980 in England, released here in America in 1982. And by the way, that song was so huge for so much of the 80s. When Kevin and I were hired here in 1989, it was still a big song on K-Rock. We used to play it all the time on the morning show back in the day.
Not that version, though.
No, probably not that version. But I enjoyed very much that selection from James in Westminster. We'll do it again next Friday for Keep It 100. You guys remember the hockey times?
Oh, they were so good.
They were so good, right?
Yes, they were.
Tell me about your evenings last night. How excited were you?
Is it October yet?
I
will really want Washington to win because of Alexander Ovechkin. And
he's a player who's been playing forever.
He's played for 13 years, and I think for 7 of those years, he was the point leader. So he was the best player in the NHL for 7 of the 13 seasons, and way up there for the other ones.
More than 1,100 games, and he finally got to hold the Stanley Cup above his head.
And there was something about him. Maybe the ownership is different in this particular situation, but there was something about him playing for Washington, not leaving Washington to go get a cup, but figuring out a way to stay there and get a cup.
Right.
Now, it's possible, you know, when you talk about Kevin Durant or people like that, it's possible that their ownership was never going to get them a cup. So then in that case, they do move. But it was kind of cool to see. And when he won, man, it was exciting.
Allie, you enjoy yourself?
I did very much. First of all, just Doc Emmerich. I could listen
announcer.
To him do anything all day long. I love him so very much.
He's one of the best broadcasters in sports history.
Although I'm not a great fan of the word sachet, which he seems
loves
to
say sachetting up the ice. It's amazing. last night he likened something to pudding. I mean, he is a gentle, gentle spirit. It was wonderful. Ovechkin, he's phenomenal. I don't know if you saw the interview. I retweeted it on my Twitter as well. Of TJ Oshie talking about his dad.
I didn't.
This won't surprise you that I pulled that for this morning.
Please play.
You want to set it up and I'll play it?
Well, his dad has been having a lot of problems with dementia and Alzheimer's. And his concern.
Diagnosed with Alzheimer's at 50, by the way, his father.
Yeah. So he was concerned that he may not even really remember something like this. But then they caught him on the ice and chatted with him after the game. Here's TJ.
My dad, he doesn't, remember a lot of stuff these days.
He's trying very hard not to cry.
He remembers enough, but I tell you what, he's here tonight. I don't know where he's at, but this one will stick with him forever. You can guarantee that.
And then his dad did come down on the ice and get a chance to stand there and hold the cup with his son. Oh. And his dad was his coach when he was playing hockey as a kid and, you know, as a teen. So a very special moment for those two.
Yeah, that is awesome.
I suspect that TJ is right and his father will remember that.
I hope so.
Hope so, too.
Yeah. That was beautiful. So congratulations to the Washington Capitals. And by the way, as everyone has said, Las Vegas certainly has nothing to feel bad about.
What a crazy story.
What a season, right?
Ridiculous.
Do we have time for a real quick, how does the story end?
Sure.
Hit it, Steve.
How does the story end, my friend? Friend. How does the story end?
I don't know what the odds would be of this happening, but a man named Matthew Bailey was pulled over on a New Jersey road last week in the Kingwood Township.
How does this
nope, not yet. Not yet. Is it a BS ticket, by the way, if you get pulled over for tinted windows?
Yes.
How do we feel about tinted windows?
Yes. I feel like it is.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
I feel like it is inconsistently enforced. Mm-hmm. I think there are lots of people all over the country, all over the world that have tinted windows. Most of them don't ever get tickets, but every once in a while somebody does. And I always wonder if they're just looking for a reason to pull you over.
I mean, it's also – it's a fix-it ticket, right? So you can take it off the window and then you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, it's not like points go on your record or anything, but it does seem lame.
Exactly. All right. So Matthew Bailey is the driver. He gets pulled over by a New Jersey state trooper named Michael Patterson. Hang on. Stand by. The two men began talking, and Mr. Bailey, the driver, mentioned that he was a retired police officer from Piscataway, which is probably not how you pronounce that. Piscataway?
Boom, he's out, right?
Well, I'm sure he brought it up because he was looking for a little, little blue courtesy about trying to get out of a ticket or something. I don't know why the two are chatting. I don't know why it turns into a social visit. And it's not just a, hey, I'm going to go back to my car and write you this fix-it ticket for your windows. But they chat long enough to realize that they've met before. One time 27 years ago. They met one time 27 years ago, and both of them remembered it, knew about it.
Wow.
Were amazed to be reunited 27 years later on the side of the road while one was giving the other a ticket. What is the event that they remembered? What is the commonality of these two men that met randomly on the street last week?
How does the story end?
27 years ago.
We don't have either of their ages?
I don't know. What are you thinking?
I have a guess. Oh, go ahead.
I was thinking that the cop pulled over that guy's mom for speeding. But she was going to the hospital to deliver him out of her hoo-ha. He met him that day because he delivered him, right?
Kevin, your guess.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, all right.
You
wanted a guess.
No, that's not what it is. Okay, it could have been, but it's not.
Okay. All right.
Chip, you got a guess?
Oh, God. That was my guess. But I'll say maybe they were at the Academy graduation together?
Oh, good. That's a good idea.
Okay. Well, Allie, congratulations, first of all.
Shut up!
Come on now.
The state trooper was delivered by the driver 27 years ago.
You're
not even lying.
Did you see that?
No, but I had it backwards then.
No, but you got any part of it.
Yes.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
I mean, and I was totally kidding.
October 5th, 1991. The state trooper's mother, Karen, went into labor while shopping at a grocery store. They called the police, and Mr. Bailey was the officer that responded and delivered the boys.
And was also the father.
No,
what?
And that's why
not
she called him.
Right?
Not the case.
Smart.
Right? Smart.
And in case you're wondering, no ticket was issued on this traffic stop, and instead, Patterson brought Bailey home for another reunion with the rest of the family.
Yeah, here we go.
Not like that.
Now, here we go.
Finally, this is needed.
Like I said, what are the odds?
That's crazy.
These people didn't know each other, had never spoken since that day.
How much conversation did they have to have with each
other? That's what I'm saying.
For that to come up.
Yes. Well, Bailey said, hey, I used to be a cop. And the cop said, well, I'm from that same town. And then one of them started mentioning the street he grew up on. And then the guy said, I remember it well. I delivered a baby down the street from there. He just went on and on. But imagine, how crazy is that, right?
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
So that's how the story ends.
How does the story
Oops.
End?
Wrong one. Hold, please.
That's how the story ends.
What's your take on when Beer Mug walks into the studio and just sits down in front of a microphone? What's your take on that?
Look, I just set everybody straight.
What's your take on that, Bean?
My take is we need locks.
How dare you?
Oh, no.
We have too loose a policy, man.
I
need ICE here to arrest him at the border or something.
Why are you guys so mean to me?
Hey, real quick before we get into all of that nonsense, we're about 16 minutes away from tickets going on sale for the Demon Days Festival, which is happening at the Pico Rivera Sports Arena and Grounds on October the 20th. This is going to be your last chance to see Gorillaz for a while because it's the final date of the North American Tour. Erykah Badu is also on the bill, the internet, and more. We do have a pair of tickets for you at 1-800-520-1067. I know we're giving away a bunch of stuff right now. Caller 20, 1-800-520-1067. And again, you can buy the tickets on sale at 10 a.m. this morning for the Gorillaz and more on K-Rock. All right, before we get out of here, one last look at what's happening. Apparently, Kat's here, Muggs is here, Allie is here. We're having a party.
We are having a party. And quite frankly, I have done 4 hours of what's happening. Mm-hmm. So go back and listen to those.
Tired of it?
Yeah, I'm over it. And I would like to hear from Kat about what is going on this weekend here in Los Angeles.
Pride is going on this weekend, and we host. So there's a great lineup. Kalani, Tove Lo, Iconopop, Eve performing these two-day events.
Wow.
There will be road closure, so you don't know about that. It's about $30 a day for a ticket, which is pretty good for the festival that they put on. I just like the drink specials. It's like five for one.
Everywhere.
You know what I mean?
It's phenomenal.
Like, that's like...
It's not just a tiny drink special for Kat. She needs the whole thing.
And I just like having one day a year where I'm not the only guy wearing the assless chaps.
Let's talk about Grease. Grease is the word, people. It's the 40th anniversary of the movie Grease. Olivia Newton-John, John Travolta, Hollywood Bowl is doing a big live screening of the film on June 30th. I don't know if you've ever been to the sing-alongs.
So fun.
I did the Sound of Music once.
I did too.
The best.
And people would think, oh, that's pathetic. What is wrong with you? You're hammered singing the Sound of Music and everyone's having a great time.
Everybody's dressed up. There were like so dudes in lederhosen and nun outfits, like the habits and stuff.
Right.
And so Grease, the tickets are on sale, I believe now for the 30th for this Grease sing-along. Sha-na-na, the remaining members will be opening up.
Even Bowser?
Apparently, he lives out here, you know that?
I once said to Jeff Goldblum...
What's happening?
I said to Jeff Goldblum when I was a 14-year-old, is it weird, like, when you do that thing at the end of the show where you put up your muscle and you say, do, and he goes, who do you think I am? And I said, Bowser from Sha-na-na. He wasn't pleased.
Look, if you're into the Pitch Perfect movies, all that stuff, Sean and us started out as an a cappella group at Columbia. I mean, that's how they started. So,
Dirty Dan.
Yeah.
I remember all those guys.
Excellent voices. So, yeah, Grease sing-along at the Bowl on June 30th.
And then Muggs, you have something, too.
Really, really sweet event that the people over at Santa Anita want me to host. I mean...
Well,
they're questionable. Questionable.
Kevin's not allowed there.
Questionable judgment. Yeah, Kevin's not allowed there. So they want me to come in. Really cool event called 90s by Nature at Santa Anita Park.
Oh, I get it.
See?
It's like 90.
Yeah. Down with OPP?
Yeah, you know me.
So I will be there. It starts at noon. Some great, great 90s cover bands. Mm-hmm. Some by the names of Red Knot Chili Peppers. New Doubt. And Burritos, which is a Sublime cover band. Craft beer, food trucks. I'm going to have a ton
is
of tickets.
Burritos with Rome, though?
No.
Okay.
See what you did?
I see what I did.
Burritos hold the Rome. See what I did?
I mean...
Can we stop?
I'm going to turn this car around.
Is that an option?
Is it Friday?
I'm pretty sure Bean left 2 minutes ago.
What day? Let's mention that, Muggs. What day are you going to be there?
I'm glad you asked me. It's tomorrow, you guys. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have any Saturday plans, I'm going to have a ton of tickets that I'm giving away. Coheed and Cambria, the Mighty Mighty Boston's. We have Kevin Hart comedy tickets for the Hollywood Bowl. I think like close to the front row, too. Slightly Stupid and Revolution. And you guys, big historic horse racing event going on tomorrow. Justify will be going for the Triple Crown at the Belmont Stakes. Kevin, there's only 12 horses in history that have ever completed the Triple Crown.
If you watch hockey on NSNBC, what is it?
NBCSN.
They advertise this every 30 seconds. I'm so over the goddamn horse race. I don't care.
Kevin.
I don't care.
Only 12 horses
don't
in
care.
History. It's an amazing feat.
If this was the first one, I wouldn't care.
But since, like...
I'm so tired of it.
If it were a pony, I'd be in. Because then it would be like the first pony.
Right?
Right.
It would be a long race, though.
Yeah.
Like the little legs. Seriously.
Wait, hold before
so
you go, cute. Kevin.
The
before,
SoCal.
Hold on, before you go. So that's tomorrow, noon to 6, and free parking at gate 6.
Excellent.
So I'll be down there. So come on down and say hi.
And that's what's happening.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness.
We all win with Stryker. By the way, broadcasting live from Las Vegas today from 4 to 7 p.m. He's going to broadcast from the Palms Casino and Resort in Las Vegas, and he's going to be joined by some special guests.
That's just trouble.
So check that out. That is trouble. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday morning.
You guys thought I was being mean when I suggested maybe a lock on the studio door.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm Kat Corbett, and I'd like to turn you on.
Oh. Yeah. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Tiny little package.
Oh.
Roll another one.
Oh, come on now.
Just like the other.
I'm sorry, the question again, Dave?
This one seems to be about quid.
Big, thick.
And I need another hit.
Well, let me tell you that you're right about, if you say good, you're right, because this is the world of inflatables. Give yourselves a nice round of applause, everybody.
Rest in peace.
Just like the other one.
Yeah, dog.
This one seems to be about
the best. What the hell is that? What's up with that?
I don't have another cent.
I don't care whatever it is that you're selling here. I'm not buying it.
But the bogart
that joins. I have a bogart.
Just pass it around.
Ew, no.
And the bogart that joined, my friend.
Half glass full.
All right, guys, let's end strong. What do you say? Let's power on out of here.
Oh, God, they're so evil. Just please, God, free us from them. They're drunk on our children's blood, for God's sake. Okay, I'm going to stop right now.
That was humor, Mother.
I know, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I love laughing and laughter.
Oh. Yes, we all do, but enough chit-chat.
USA! 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 Dilly dilly!
Dilly dilly!
Yeah.